Now, it's time to dip into Naked Astronomy's post bag and answer some of your questions. Ricardo Hernandez sent an email to astronomy@thenakedscientist.com wanting to know more about gravitational waves. He was wondering whether the vibrations of these waves might be strong enough to trigger earthquakes. To find out, I put this one to Kirsten Goschalk at the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research in Perth.
So the short answer to this one is no, not really. If they were strong enough to cause an earthquake, then we would have detected them by now and it would be in the news and everyone would be really excited about it. But unfortunately, they're far too weak to have that kind of an effect on the Earth. So gravitational waves are like a big wave that propagates in space-time, and they're predicted by Einstein in 1915, and they mostly theory until now, that they transport energy as gravitational radiation as these waves, and we haven't yet directly detected them. We have detected them indirectly. There was some observations of a system out in space that two astronomers did, and they surmised the existence of gravitational waves, and they won the Nobel Prize for Physics from those observations in 1993. But we haven't actually directly detected them on Earth because it's extremely difficult because they are so weak. We predict that the strongest ones that would be reaching Earth would maybe be if you had a kilometre of the Earth, the gravitational wave coming in would only change the size of that kilometre by less than the size of a proton. So to measure the effect of these waves, you need to be looking at big, big things and measuring over big distances.
And what kind of astronomical objects are producing these gravitational waves?
So we have systems that are orbiting around each other. So maybe you've got neutron stars going around each other or black holes and stars in orbit around each other. So you've got these two things that are spinning around a shared centre of gravity, a point in between them, and their interaction in their orbits produces gravitational waves.
So they're produced when very massive objects are moving around very quickly. But how would we detect them?
So there's two main ways that we're trying at the moment from Earth. There's these things called laser interferometers that we've built, where you've got two lasers at right angles to each other. And when a gravitational wave comes in, one of the arms will be stretched longer and one of the arms will be shrunk. And so because they've got these two lasers, they interfere and you can see a change in that interference pattern, even if just the distances of those arms are changed very minutely. Unfortunately, none of the detectors that we have, the laser interferometers that we have on the Earth, have actually detected a gravitational wave yet, but they're planning on building even bigger ones so that they're even more sensitive to weaker waves, and hopefully we'll find some soon. And then there's the other way that we're trying, and radio astronomers are observing these things called pulsars, which are neutron stars that are spinning around very fast and they emit extremely regular pulses of radio waves. And so they are the most accurate clocks in the universe. And so you have these pulsars out in space in the universe and they're beaming their pulses of radio waves towards the Earth and we can collect them with radio telescopes. And when a gravitational wave goes through space-time in between the pulsar and Earth, it will actually change the timings of those pulses. So you'll see one pulsar that's, you know, perfectly pulsing at us and a gravitational wave will, you know, ripple past and the timings will be off a little bit. And so what you can do is observe pulsars in one direction and then observe pulsars in another direction, you know, maybe at 90 degrees, because you need to have them at right angles, not at the same line, not at 180 degrees. And so you observe all of these pulsars in different spots in the sky and you should see the timings lengthened in one direction and shortened in another direction. So it's kind of like the same way the laser interferometer works, except on a massive scale, almost as big as the galaxy, hopefully.
We've got these detectors on Earth that could find gravitational waves, and we've got methods using pulsars. Are these teams in direct competition to get the first discovery of gravitational waves, or are they looking for fundamentally different kinds of gravitational wave?
I think they're pretty much in competition to find the first gravitational waves. And if you ask the people who are trying laser interferometers, they insist they're going to find them first. And you ask the people that are trying to use these pulsar timing arrays, and they're like, oh no, we've got a great chance. We're going to make this happen really soon. But neither of them have managed it yet. So we're just holding our breaths and waiting to see who gets there first. And then there's actually a third way they're going to maybe try, and it's basically laser interferometers, except they're thinking of putting one in space so that it's not affected by things on Earth. So some of the laser interferometers, if you have like a truck drive past, even hundreds of kilometers away, that can result in a false detection because they're so sensitive and almost anything that happens around them can actually have an effect. So having it out in space removes a lot of those effects and you can get much more accurate readings.
Thanks, Kirsten.